She knows. Oh, yeah. She knows. It's Manifested with Carlin Ray.
Welcome to the Dream It Series Director's Cut. I'm your host, the new and improved Chop Liver. Actually, I'm the old and aged Chop Liver, Dean Hudson. I'm here with Carlin Ray. Got her going already. The Dream It Series Director's Cut is a behind-the-scenes look at what Carlin teaches every week at the Dream It Series live and in person in Calgary. And we usually just take this opportunity to kind of revisit the topic, maybe go into a little more depth, a little more tangents about what you decided last night. And Carlin, everyone has heard from you via the radio or live events, who you are and what you do. We hear the old, Hannah's talk clairvoyant, work with the police, yada, yeah. Yada, yada.
Blah, 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 yeah. Blah, blah.
Right. What yeah. I want to know today is tell us something that people maybe don't know about you.
Wow.
Weren't expecting that, were you?
Something people don't know about me.
Something different.
Do you think, I mean, that is, I tell people everything.
Mm-hmm. Huh. I know a small one, but I'm not going to make it that easy for you.
I yell at my husband.
Asshole.
I'm the abusive one in our relationship.
There you go.
Let's see. About my life now or about me as a person?
Just you as a person. Maybe something you like, something you don't like, something that people would necessarily know about you. I mean, everybody knows you like Michael Jackson. Still can't get over that.
I do. I love Michael Jackson. I mean, people tend to know so much about me.
I know another easy one. I'll give it to you.
Okay.
You don't like seafood?
No, I don't like seafood.
Why?
I have
It's because it's slimy.
I honestly don't know why.
I just don't.
I just... The only time that I've ever eaten seafood and liked it was... Okay, I think I might know why. When I was young, I was about 4 years old, and we went on a trip, my parents and my grandma and grandpa and me and my sister went on this trip in my parents' motorhome to Vancouver, where my Uncle Bill and my Auntie Irene were. And my Uncle Bill was an avid fisherman, and I'd never met him before, and me and him hit it off really, really well. And So two parts. First of all, we as we're going along, because we're following my Uncle Bill, who's a madman driver, and he slams on the brakes, and I'm in the motorhome, and of course, you didn't have seatbelts back then. So we stop in the McDonald's parking lot, and my grandma goes to lift up a cupboard to see what's in there, and half a plate comes flying down and actually sliced my forehead, and you can see it when I wrinkle.
That's where you got that from.
That's my scar. So I was so devastated that my head got sliced open that my Uncle Bill came from the motorhome and said, I'm going to take you fishing, baby girl. And to this day, one of the things I absolutely love to do is fish. And I haven't done it in a long time, but absolutely love fishing. And it's because of my Uncle Bill. So what had happened was my Uncle Bill took me fishing and I caught crabs in a crab net.
Yeah,
in a
the trap or whatever. Trap.
And then I caught this mud shark. And wow. It was a big mud shark, and my uncle was so excited. He's like, you caught a mud shark. And he's like, do you want me to get it off there and we'll bring it with us? And I remember looking at him saying, is it going to bite you? And he said, well, probably. Well, no, throw it back. So I made him throw it back because it might bite him. And then I caught two huge salmon. And when we went back to the campsite, we barbecued the salmon and barbecued the crab. And it was, I ate tons. Like, I couldn't get enough of it. And then my uncle died. And so the man that inspired my fishing and,
yep.
And he was so proud of me because I was like only like 4 or 5. And I stayed on the boat all day without having to go to the bathroom without anything.
Oh, wow.
So it was just this, it's one of those amazing memories that you have as a kid. So I have a feeling that's why I don't like seafood at all, is because he's not here.
Wow. See, I asked for one small thing and look what we got. Yeah. Wow. Awesome. Now, last night, you talked about the first step.
Yeah.
And as usual, you went off on this tangent that I wasn't expecting. Like, you were way, way out there.
I wasn't expecting it, honestly. Last night I thought I'd try something new. I was so proud of myself. I wrote points down that I wanted to be able to make sure that I
notes.
Covered. Right.
Yeah.
Didn't use them.
So, note to self?
Yep.
Forget the notes.
Yeah. there's no point.
Well, and it was interesting because I thought it was going to be very, very sort of practical first steps. Mm-hmm. And we got to that point. You always come around. But you started talking about grade levels, which I've heard you talk about before, where we come back and think of it like grades
like school.
1 through 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you started going around or talking around indigo children and crystal children. Mm-hmm. And
which is a frustration for me because there's so much stuff out there about indigo and crystal that it's extremely confusing.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are maybe thinking, like, where is this leading? And was the idea that they're just so good naturally at manifesting that they're just so in tune with a much bigger picture than we are? But that's where a lot of the challenges come in, because you were saying the system's just not ready to handle these types of kids because they're just so tuned in. And it was really interesting because I've personally had that experience with my kids. My six-year-old daughter is very, very in tune, and she said stuff to us that just blows us away. Mm-hmm. And one time, our three-year-old boy, Rhett, is the same age as Anne-Marie's youngest boy. They're only about a month apart in age or 6 months apart in age. And a few weeks ago, one morning, they both woke up the same morning talking about each other and the fact that they went somewhere together. It was like they had the same dream on the same night together. And I think at the time you mentioned they were probably astral traveling
together,
or whatever together. And they both woke up at 3 years old and talked about in detail the dreams they had and the trip they went on together individually. And we didn't find out about it until a couple days later. We went, holy cow.
Yeah.
And so is that an example of an indigo or a crystal child?
Oh, yeah. Well, what people don't, and just so you understand, the whole reason that I brought up the children, and I know people have been wanting me to bring up children for a long time, but the whole reason that I brought up the children is because we started as children. And that's where things kind of went awry. So when we're looking at going to the first step, we have to go back, all the way back to when we were the kids and we actually knew everything was possible, right?
Right.
The thing, like for an example with the astral planing with Rhett and Anne-Marie's son, is there's nobody around them telling them that that can't be possible. And I've talked about the consciousness and the subconsciousness and your consciousness being your coating of armor. Well, nothing's gotten in your consciousness yet to say that that's not acceptable.
Right.
So it cannot protect. It has no desire to try to protect you from it. So it can't block it. Right. So as long as our children are, or when we were children, or as long as we didn't get those blockages, there really isn't any effort to tap into your subconscious. And that's where you do all your law of attraction, right? Is with energy in your subconscious. So that was the whole point of it, was first of all, I mean, there's a couple things I want to help the kids that are coming out now because a lot of us were indigo. Right? Mm. And indigo had nothing but struggles because of our parents' past.
Right.
And we need to break that cycle, first of all. But second of all, we need to break the cycle that we were in. And that's by going back to the basics of understanding why we have a hard time doing it now.
Well, and I would assume that there's an easier connection between us as being indigo children with our kids than there was with our parents' generation and us.
Yep.
That you would hope that would be easier to maybe be open to the ideas and allow that to happen. I know.
You'd hope. And it's funny because our society is supposed to be so much more open. And I mean, I know in the last 15 years, 15 to 17 years ago when I was doing readings, I was Satan's little spawn.
Right.
Now I tell people I do readings, and it's not nearly the deal. I mean, you've seen me even when I agreed to do the spoke speaking for the woman shelter and stuff. Well, 15 years ago, they'd have never allowed me to do that, not because of where I was in my life, but because I was a clairvoyant. That just simply couldn't have been allowed. So, I mean, that's all evolved, and that's fantastic. But we've become an angrier society and a more unhappy society, and nothing's ever good enough. For us in this society, which actually has us giving our kids more bad habits and more difficulties and more holdbacks.
So it's almost like you have to kind of cut through the background noise of all that. I call that the chafe, all the stuff that's just out there, and just focus on what's really more true to you and to your kids.
Yeah.
It was a really interesting tangent to me because I was going in there expecting, okay, we're going to get some nitty gritty first steps. And then we were just way off about children and society and families. And you came up with another interesting or different take on things. And it was the whole, you know, the world is going to end.
Mm.
And you reminded everybody as we know it.
That's right.
Which doesn't mean the world's going to end. It means it's going to change.
Yeah.
Really.
Drastically.
It's going to change. And my question was, is it the kids, these Indigo and Crystal kids, mm-hmm. that are effectively going to become the leadership to make that happen?
Yep.
And for us, I guess, just to have the faith to allow that to happen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's why such old souls are coming now. And the reason that something like the clairvoyant is more okay now is because of all the old souls that are coming, right? I mean, old souls, as far as they're concerned, a clairvoyant is a prophet, which is no different than the prophets that wrote the Bible. Like, it's
sure.
So old souls get what it is I do because I are one.
Right.
Right. So that's what's making it so much easier for, you know, people like me. But what's happening is the last couple of generations, and I mean, there's some from our parents' generation that we're Indigo to, you know, just like, as much as I say now there isn't Indigo children, it cycles through. I mean, it's not like you can depict the exact year that the universe went, oh, okay, no more Indigo now, we're just going to jump into Crystal. But for the majority, our children are Crystal children. But what's happening is the universe, because this is our school, right? And basically, our human nature, our consciousness, our blockages, the need to learn lessons, has created quite a bit of damage on the school ground, is the easiest way to explain it. So we've ripped up the grass, there's no football poles, there's no...
Right.
Like, we've
there's
screwed
no
up
playground, God. There's no
playground.
Right.
So what's happening now is the Indigo and the Crystal children have to come so that when it's time for the cleansing, which in the universe is... The words that I get from guides all the time is when it's time for battle. And they don't mean battle like guns and that kind of thing. But when it's time for battle, we have enough of our subconscious to fight through to protect the playground.
So really,
that's what we're here for.
The battle is in the sense of, okay, it's time to create that change that needs to happen.
Yeah.
You know, that saying reminds me of another one you use, and I heard a funny interpretation of it. You had always said, you always joked around about the saying, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
You always say, well, what's the point of having the cake?
That's right.
And I actually learned this week, the actual saying is you can't have your cake and then eat it too. That's the origination of the saying. I never knew that till this week.
And then eat it too.
Which is true, because if you then eat it, the cake is gone. It's not that it happens at the same time. It's a sequential thing. But in our, is typical in our language, things get dropped and missed and stuff like that. And that's what was so important about the world is going to end as we know it.
It's also what was important about getting back into the first step. Things are getting dropped and missed, right?
Right.
And so what we're doing is we're picking the pieces back up. And it was when I first walked in the door last night, my intention was to talk about, you know, how we have evolved and how we understand the universe and, you know, I definitely had every intention on going into the take responsibility, but don't take blame.
Yeah.
And I had every intention of going into the, you know, move forward. Like you can't just put on your list of what you want to do. I want a new job. And then, you know, approach somebody 6 months ago and just leave it up to the universe to kind of bring it to your doorstep. That's not how the law of attraction works. You know, I get frustrated all the time. You know, people will come and tell me, well, no, I need this money, and God will just deposit it in the mailbox. Okay, well, last time I checked, the bank doesn't take checks from God. So, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's, so for me, I that was what my intention was to go, okay, we actually have to do some effort here. Like, we actually have to, you know, move forward. It was kind of like I had been showing Tina in the Attract It workshop that it's great, sweetheart, you quit your job, you're a full-time photographer, but nobody in the room of people that know you actually know what you do.
Right.
Right? And of course, once she stepped out of her zone and said, I'm a photographer. Well, now, I mean, even just in the Dreamit family alone, she's got all these things taking place of people wanting, you know, family portraits and to travel with portraits and like all of this stuff that they would have never even thought to do because they didn't know that's what she was doing. So my intention last night was to go into all of that, and that's the first step. But as I'm walking through the door, and I mean, it's, you know, it's the fun of your teacher being a channeler, because as I'm walking through the door, it just started spewing, and it was the kids, and you know, you need to go back further than where you were headed. So I did.
Yeah, so it's almost like you have to go back to be able to move forward.
Yeah, you have to go back to the beginning.
And, you know, and what you said about taking action, it was a paragraph I read in a book, in a novel, actually. It was kind of funny. And it said, I mentioned this before at Dreamit, but it kind of really applied to last night as well, was that, you know, the cat string theory is, you know, you have a piece of yarn and a cat will just freak out and go after the yarn. But if you just put it down on the floor, they go, eh, I'm done with that. And they just leave it alone. And this paragraph said the universe has its own cat string theory, and that it doesn't take what you want and drop it right in your lap.
No.
It drops it just over there out of your reach just to see if you have enough initiative to go and get it.
That's, you know, initiative is a really good word. You know, just like going for it. It's the same thing. You know, it's in everything that you want in life. I would have never become self-employed and a psychic if I wouldn't have picked up the phone and quit the job.
Right.
Right? So there's the telling the universe what you need. And I know I use my car a lot lately. It's just an easy one because I've done it recently. So, you know, when I laid in the tub, I explained to the universe what I needed, and it was my car be a certain color and at a certain dealership. So that's the universe doing their part. Okay. I need it. I'm comfortable going to get it. Right? So that's the universe handing it just a little out of the way for me to go catch it, the cat string. Then it was up to me to go down to the dealership and buy the car.
Right.
Like, there's only so much the universe can do. And that's where it kind of gets frustrating when you're trying to teach this, because sometimes it's in the perspective that, well, if you tell the universe that's what you need, it's like people were expecting that, you know, the dealership would actually call me and say, so just so you know, I got a rumor somewhere. You wanted an 08 hardtop convertible. And so we just did your approval process really quick and you've been approved. And how about we deliver it to your door?
Right.
That's not actually how it works.
Right.
Right.
It's along the lines when people may ask me, you know, what do I have to do to become a real estate investor? And we say, go look at houses.
Exactly.
Get out and go look at houses, because once you look at a house, then you start to see what's going on, and then you start to ask questions. And before you know it, just simply going out and looking at the houses, it's just, it started.
Exactly.
You know, you're not going to buy a house by sitting on your computer and browsing the MLS listing. So you actually physically
go look
and look.
Exactly. It's the same thing. The universe will supply the pictures for you to see it on MLS, but nothing's going to happen if you don't actually go look and feel it. Right.
Right.
The universe will provide when you say to the universe, so let's say somebody wants a new job. Okay. And so they have this list together of exactly what this job is going to feel like, and they know what it's going to feel like, and they understand it, and they send that out to the universe. Well, now they actually have to be available somehow for the universe to be able to get it to them. Okay. So you send it out there. The universe already knows what it is you're looking for. That doesn't mean you don't go look on monster.ca or whatever.
Right.
It doesn't mean you don't throw resumes out there. It doesn't mean you don't check with more than one headhunter. It means you've given the universe the information. They're going to show you where it is. You have to go after it. So I'm going to give an example of actually Guy, which is one of the Dreamit ones. Okay. So he was going through major financial difficulty. Okay. And he made the choice that he was going to get a full-time job and do his photography on the part. So he was sitting there talking. He's like, I need a full-time job that gives me freedom and lenience in it. I'd like it to be outdoors because then I can take pictures and blah, blah, blah. So he's talking to somebody and they said, well, you're not going to believe this. I mean, I'm pretty sure the post office might be hiring and it can be mail carrier and blah, 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 right? In his head, the moment he got that information, it was for him, he had told the universe that's what he needed. Then he found out about the job. It was his job. It was just a done deal.
Right.
So he went to the post office and applied. Then he went looking a little further and found out there was an actual hiring company that hires for the post office too.
Oh.
So he contacted them, right? Well, he ended up getting an interview with the post office and with these guys and is now at work as of Monday. It was a done deal as far as he was concerned, but he had to actually do stuff to get there.
Right. So the idea was you have to take the action, but when you do start taking action, all the doors open, all the obstacles exactly. fall to the side because it's lined up waiting for you.
Right. Just,
you have to take steps towards it.
And the other thing to understand is when you do move forward, if the obstacles keep getting in the way, you're not supposed to do that one.
Right.
You didn't hear the sign correctly.
You're going in the wrong direction.
You didn't see it right. It's all good. It's still the universe taking care of you, but now you're trying to bulldoze instead of take a nice leisurely walk.
Right. And so at that point last night, you basically said the first step was kind of back to the basics. Kind of, you had used the word boot camp. And then again, like normal, you surprised everybody. And last night totally changed from a total dream. He said, everybody get up and move the chairs. Get all the chairs out of the room. And we pushed all the chairs up on the wall. And I joked around because then everybody's standing up against the walls. And they're standing against the walls. And it's kind of like junior high.
Exactly.
And I'm like, okay, everybody's being a bunch of wallflowers here. What's going on, right?
Yeah.
And
so then I had some fun and talked about personalities.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Yeah, you talked just about body language and stances and stuff. And then you had everybody go towards, you know, for people who weren't there, imagine a rectangular room, and you had the women go to the wall at one of the long ends and the guys at the other. And then you started asking people questions about things that they maybe have done or haven't done, you know, take a step forward off the wall. And so, you know, the first one is, you know, have you done something that steps outside of your comfort zones to take a step forward, or are you living your dream? Take a step forward. And what was interesting, though, is you ended up getting this whole mishmash of people at different stages of how far they've, you know, quote unquote, walked off the wall.
Yeah.
And then people were going sort of forward and backwards after a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you were trying to separate the idea between when people manifest what it feels like and when they don't. So to me, the basics were, people who manifest, you just learn that it's all good and everything happens for a reason. People who don't tend to have a lot of strife or confusion and things like that.
Yeah. Excuses.
But, yeah, excuses, reasons, whatever. But then I was starting to realize that it's not always black and white.
Never.
That in some areas you're manifesting very well.
Yeah.
In other areas you can't do it at all.
That's right.
So that's why people were kind of moving back and forth on questions. And so, how do you get the sensation of manifesting to kind of get it uniform across your whole life if you're having problems in one area and not another? Like, how do you transfer that? I'll give you myself as an example.
Okay.
When it comes to my job, when it comes to quitting a job, going after my own thing, starting my own business or whatever, I just do it now. And I just go with the faith that it's the right thing to do. We'll figure it out. But in other areas of my life, I may not have the patience, for example, or may not have the belief that we're actually going to be perfectly fine or better than fine. I take the steps. I know the business is going to be okay, but sometimes don't always see that trickling down into our own lives. It's like there's this prediction sometimes. And other people last night were saying, well, you know, I just went out and quit my job and started my own business, but I can't manifest my twin soul. I can't find the relationship, for example. They have, so it's almost like people more
it's
naturally.
Because we think that it's one or the other. It's because a big part of it is that we have been taught through society that you have strengths and weaknesses. We haven't been taught that everything's a balance.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It's the same thing. You actually do all the same techniques in every other aspect of your life. They're just not as tough. It was tough for you to get to the point where, like, tough is the wrong word. You had to be aware. You were more aware that you were quitting your job with no plan B. That's a very aware thing.
Right. It's in your face.
But everything else you do all the time without being aware.
Right.
The way that you raise your kids, you use the law of attraction and manifestation. How you talk yourself out of things whenever you worry, you use the law of attraction and manifestation. It's just that it's not so in your face, so we don't register that we're doing it.
And we actually noticed that last night with a lot of people. Some people were still against the wall, not even realizing that they do manifest.
Yes.
And you had to kind of walk them through the process. So to me, it was twofold. Is sometimes it's so subtle, you don't realize it.
Yeah.
And I think other times for most people, we're our own worst enemy, not giving ourselves enough credit for how much we've really done.
Yeah.
And it was interesting when that happened last night. And, actually interesting to me isn't even the right word. It was a special moment, because a lot of times the Dream It series is about kicking people in the rear end to do what they need to do. And even last night you started off with everybody putting their head between their knees, like the plane's crashing.
That was because of you.
I thought about that. Yeah. I thought, but isn't that so funny? A plane's going to crash and they tell everybody to put their head in their ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Put your head down and kiss your ass goodbye.
Basically, yeah. Right. And
yeah.
last night,
I'd like to kiss my husband goodbye first, but whatever. Yeah.
Whatever works.
Yeah.
And last night you said, okay, now stand up. You've officially pulled your head out of your butt.
Yeah.
And it started off a little bit of this sort of butt kicking, but there was this kind of special moment last night where it turned into more of an uplifting experience more than a butt kicking experience. It was more along the lines of, you guys are doing a lot more than you think you're doing. You're all in this together, and you're not giving yourselves enough credit.
That's right. You're too busy trying to blame yourself. You don't take responsibility. You don't take responsibility for the good and the bad, right? I mean, it's twofold. Again, everything is balance, right? So when you take responsibility, you don't just take responsibility for the bad now. You don't just take responsibility for when you've screwed up. You take responsibility for when you haven't, too, right? It's the balance.
Oh.
And that's what we tend to miss. So we got no problem blaming other people or blaming ourselves. I mean, a victim is a victim. Whether you're blaming someone else, you're blaming you, right? But you never give yourself the credit. And that was the ones that were against the wall, and that's where it turned so special, was because it was, you got no problem telling yourself when you're screwing up, but you have a real problem telling yourself when you're not.
Yeah.
It's something that's so important.
This is an amazing moment, because I never even caught that. I'm betting most people never caught that last night. This is sort of like a major light bulb here coming on for me. It's like, wait a second. Being responsible isn't just only about having the backbone to say, oops, I blew it, let's move forward. It's also saying, hey, I'm responsible for all the great stuff that I've created in my life as well.
Of course.
It's about giving yourself some credit.
Absolutely. It's about balance.
But I don't think people generally equate balance or use the word balance when it comes to responsibility or accountability. Accountability usually means you're going to stand up in thick or thin and take it.
And one of the advantages of being a clairvoyant, honestly, and being that really old soul, is I don't hear the same things in words that people hear.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing. I use the word manipulation. To me, it's unbelievably positive word. There's nothing negative about it. Okay? If I look at somebody and go, you manipulative cow, that's negative.
Right.
When I look at somebody and go, you just manipulated me. Good on you.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so I don't see the same things, because, again, in everything in life, there must be bad and good.
And they both have value.
And they both have to exist equally. They have to exist equally. It's the same thing. I had someone tell me years ago, you must have pain in life and you must have pleasure. So for me, one of the reasons that I have such an easy time being accountable, taking responsibility, and accepting the good and the bad and turning the bad into good is because I made the conscious choice to have pain early in my life so that I could have pleasure later in my life.
Right. Even if you didn't know it at the time, those decisions were being made.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, if someone says, you know, I'm a very responsible, accountable person, to me now, that's not as a serious thing as it used to be.
No.
That means, look at all the great things I've done. I was responsible for the fact that I got this house that I live in, or
absolutely,
I've got this great car, or I'm going on this holiday, or
absolutely,
or I'm responsible for the fact that I've got a career.
Well, let's
or
think
whatever.
About this for a second. It's not like God planted that on your lap either.
Right.
You had to go for it.
Right.
And that's what I try to tell people all the time. You manifest and use the law of attraction every hour of every day of your lives.
Yeah, it's just usually we're doing it on the negative side.
And we're doing it without noticing. And we always, remember I said that last night too? Everybody's always looking for the big bang.
Right.
Right? And what I try to show, one of the things I wanted to show is the only difference between this side of the wall, the side where you don't think you're doing it, and the side where you do think you're doing it, is the side where you do think you're doing it, you're not stressing. That was the only difference.
Right.
The side that didn't think they were doing it, they'd taken steps too.
Sure.
They just didn't see it.
And that was the interesting thing, is it wasn't just taking steps or not taking steps. Mm-hmm. It literally broke down to the thought process.
Yeah.
Whether or not you have a good day is whether or not you decide to. Period.
Everything's decision. Everything. It's the same thing. When I said to everybody, I made the choice, right, wrong, or indifferent, to argue with my husband when he came home tired yesterday.
Asshole.
Right. You just love that. When the truth was, if I'd have just let him go and let him rant and rave, 10 minutes later or 15 minutes later, he'd have come up and went, man, I'm in a bad mood.
Or, oops,
sorry, I snapped
it
at everybody. And,
right.
But instead, it became an actual fight.
Yep.
Like, it actually became this way out of proportion where I wanted to throw the fact that the jerk gets to go to the playoffs on Sunday in his face instead of, look what we did for you, baby.
Right.
That's how fast it can be turned, okay? I was in a fantastic mood, I heard Kalen crying, and I immediately jumped to the conclusion that he was being an asshole.
Right.
And so I went with that. I didn't ask any questions. I walked in guns blazing and went smack to him, right? That's, remember what I talk about? That smacking against the walls.
Yeah.
Right? Trying to bulldoze your way through life. We do it all the time. But we also do the times where that's not the reaction we have. Okay? And here's the thing. I can remember every time I've treated my spouse like crap and felt bad about it, but I can't remember every time I've treated him well. Same thing.
Right.
When you're fighting with somebody, okay?
Oh, you remember it.
Well, when we were fighting, he had no problem remembering all the times I've done the exact same thing he was doing last night.
Right.
But couldn't for the life of him remember all the times that I'd walked in the door and purposely not gone off the handle.
You remember the fight so well that when you have a new fight, you bring up all the stuff from the old fight.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic. It's the best memory you have.
It is.
It's like, where does that memory come from?
The consciousness.
Right. But you don't remember the times when
right.
It was just, it was okay.
Exactly. You can tell yourself all the times you screwed up. Okay? You can remember all the times that putting groceries in the house was tough. But what about all the times that doing grocery shopping was easy?
Or
was
you remember all the bad drives.
The yeah.
People never remember the day when it's...
Everybody let them in traffic?
Right. Or the day when traffic just zoomed right in and you got to work early. But everybody remembers the day when there's 6 feet of snow and it was a gong show.
Which is why we have road rage and stuff so easily. Now, nobody even has to do anything. And there's road rage. You accidentally cut people off. Do you know what I mean? The problem is we've jumped to the conclusion that everything is crap, and so it just is instantly.
Right. You go from 0 to 60 in a couple of seconds.
Right. And
wow.
That's right. And then you're throwing blame and you're taking blame. And that's not taking responsibility. Taking responsibility for something is not blaming yourself. Guilt isn't going to do anybody good. Blame is useless. It can never be taken back. The
right.
moment you're in, you can never take back anything that's happened before that. The only thing that you have any control over is what's coming, not what's been. It's too late. It's already happened.
It's what are you going to do next?
It's what are you going to do next? So we throw responsibility and we throw blame and we don't take it, we don't, or we give ourselves blame But we don't give ourselves the responsibility, the understanding, the acknowledgement that we truly are in control of our lives. And how we react will depict on how everybody else around us reacts.
To me, the accountability thing is, you recognize you made a whoops. You recognize that something happened, that, you know, whatever that situation may be. But then you say, okay, what am I going to do about it today to move forward?
It's over.
It's like over.
And for me, you recognize it was never a whoops.
Right.
For me, whoops doesn't exist.
You recognize the lesson.
You recognize that you needed to go through that to get here.
Right. And that everything happens for a reason.
Everything.
And now here's what we're going to do going forward.
Everything. Absolutely. Anybody that chooses to download this podcast is downloading it for a reason.
Right.
Everything we go to do, every current turn you take, every, you know, and people don't understand that. And that's the whole point. We don't think outside of our box. Okay. So for an example, I'm just going to use an example, construction. Okay. How many times does somebody get peeved off when they get sent on a detour and they're in a hurry? Okay. Mm-hmm. We have no idea how the universe is taking care of us. For all we know, that detour saved us from a car accident.
Yeah.
How do we know not?
I had that happen once. I'm trying to remember where it was, where we were late leaving and we were heading out to BC. And all of a sudden the traffic was backed up on the number one highway like it happened. And we were at a standstill for a long time and, you know, a couple of hours. Kind of just stuck.
And you get frustrated.
Well, we've gotten past that now. We knew everything happens for a reason.
Right.
We thought, okay. We also knew that, okay, this is only happening because somebody's having a lot worse day than me.
Right.
You know, there's somebody out there, and sure enough, pardon me, by the time we got through there, there was like a head-on accident. It's bad. And then we realized, boy, if we had left the house, you know, 5-10 minutes earlier,
absolutely,
whatever.
Could have been you.
We had another one, a friend of mine and I coming home from Edmonton, where you saw the smoke in the sky and the helicopter flying in. It had just happened. And we were literally 300 yards behind it. And you just wonder. And you know, those ones are such big, huge examples.
But you know what?
But it happens
all
the time.
They're noticeable. And so that's why we pay attention.
Right.
The problem is we aren't observant enough to pay attention when little things happen. They're for a reason.
Right.
See, when I get held up in traffic, I say thank you.
Something's happened. Right.
There's a reason. I may not understand the reason. Kidding me? In the middle of it, I'm not going to understand the reason. I may never understand the reason.
No, you may never know.
I may never know what the reason is, but I do know that there's a reason. There was a reason I was on that road at that exact moment, at that exact point in time. And we don't take the time to allow life to be, to acknowledge the things we wouldn't typically notice.
Right. And that's what I was going to say, is those examples are so massive. They're so easy to point out. Everybody's had that kind of experience.
Sure.
Most people have that kind
of
experience.
And if you've had the kind of experience that you visually have seen it, that means you had to have had the kind of experience where it's happened without you seeing it too.
Right.
You can't have had one without the other.
Right. It's happening
right?
all
it's
around.
It's happening.
And so what was neat last night is using that exercise of everybody sort of on their feet, you eventually came back around to literally everybody, the first step is being accountable or responsible without the blame. And once you can get past the excuses and the blame, you have taken your first step to really manifesting whatever it is you want in your life.
Because the truth is, manifestation is freedom. That's what it is.
Right.
Freedom of life.
And I think that really blew people away, how that came back to it. And I joke about this all the time, it's getting old, but you start the night and you're like, meow, way off of this challenge. Tangent. Meow. And then at the end, all of a sudden, it all fit. Just get rid of the excuses, get rid of the blame towards somebody else or yourself, because we're our own worst critics, and you're on your way. That's right. Now, we have another special moment here, because I think for the first time in weeks, you actually have the topic of what you're going to teach on Thursday.
That's not fair. Oh, no. Because you came up with the last three topics.
Yeah, well, the last together. One we came up together. Yeah. And then all of a sudden today, you wrote on a piece of paper and handed it to me, what an amazing life to live. What an amazing life it is to live. And that's the topic for this Thursday's Dream It series. Mm-hmm. What got you to that title?
I was sitting at lunch. A lot of people don't know how much the universe mourns and how sad it is. And I was sitting there and we were talking about the Mary Dover House because I'm participating in the charity to put a roof over the head and $1,000 pays for a shingle.
Yeah.
At the Chinook Mall on 17th. I was sitting there and it was actually Leyland, our sales associate through Energy. I was looking at him, and when he had toured the building, it affected him in a very
profound way.
Awing kind of way, like it changed who he was as a person.
Right.
And not just because he was thankful, but he seemed so much strength. And as I was looking at him, and I don't even know if I can explain this right, but as I was looking at him, all I thought was, it's time for people to honestly understand how amazing life really is. You know, we hear so much about what's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very lucky because I get to see amazing lives every day like that. So and I've said it millions of times, I'm probably one of the luckiest people on this planet. But sometimes you just can't get through the forest to see trees.
It's like I was talking before, the background noise. You've got to kind of cut out all that background noise and get back to really realizing how amazing it is, how every experience is amazing.
Yeah. And what I got while I was sitting there was the Thursdays are pretty quiet right now because it's Thursdays. And so what I got was, Carlin, it's time to impact people on a very personal level. It's time to let us go at it. And so that's what I'm going to do.
On Thursday. Wow. I can't wait. I can't wait for every week, but
I know.
With that kind of impact, I can't wait.
I'm pretty emotional already, and all I have is the title. So it should be interesting.
Should be a good one. Now, for everyone listening, we're back on the radio show this week.
Yeah.
On Energy 101.5 FM in Calgary on Sunday night from 6 to 7 p.m. Also, if you're abroad, you can listen at energy1015.com and stream live there. And for all the details of where you are and what you're doing and what's coming up, people can go to manifestit.ca. That's our website with all the details, everything about Carlin and where you're at. And talk about for a minute you're doing some charity work here on Thursday too. You're just helping out with the radiothon that Energy's doing, basically, mm-hmm. for the Mary Dover House.
I'm answering psychic questions for donation, and I'm going to be live on air on Thursday. And it's for the Mary Dover House, and it's for women and children that are homeless transitioning back into lifestyle. And it affects me on a personal level because a lot of times, when you've been abused, that's the next step is in order to get out, you end up being homeless. And so it's going to be amazing, and it's going to be tons of fun, and I'm really looking forward to it.
That's Thursday, April 17th. You'll be at Chinook Center there from basically noon till 5 about.
Yeah, 12
and you'll
to
be, 5. You'll be broadcasting live on Energy 101.5 again. So people who want to go and make a donation to the Mary Dover House and come down and say hi, they can come to Chinook Center in Calgary. And basically, that wraps it up for this edition of the Dream It Director's Cut.
Mm-hmm. If you want something you never had, you must do something you've never done.
They say mother knows best. But unless Carlin's your mother, you can't be sure.
Homina, homina. You forgot about that part.
Totally.
The homina, homina?
Yeah.
Ah, see? Outtakes. Outtakes are good. I'm going to do my darnest not to cough in the microphone or sneeze or burp or fart or something.
Nice.
Well, I'm thinking we're on here, right? It's kind of like the radio station make Coke come out my nose.
I could do that. I could make peppermint or green tea come out of your nose.
Yeah, yummy. Mm-hmm. At least it won't sting.
Speaking of which, how was that peppermint tea last night?
Disgusting.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean, I drank a little bit, but you know what it was? It tasted normal. Until after you swallowed it.
Yeah.
Like, the first peppermint shot was kind of the same, and then you're standing there, and your leg starts to twitch. It's like, what the hell was that I just ate?
She says to me, you tell the kids, no yelling in the house unless the house is on fire. And then you go and yell at the kids. Note to self. Light the house on fire before you yell at the kids.